Hello, I'm Daryl Rutt. Welcome to News Folder 19, the podcast for the politically independent and or moderate. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to whatever media format you are listening to this on, be it YouTube, Spotify, iHeart, whatever. Thank you. This is episode number 145. News story number 145.1. U.S. single-family home building shrank in March. In addition, a severe shortage of previously owned houses for sale and a resurgence in mortgage rates is pushing potential buyers to the sidelines. Single-family housing starts, which account for the bulk of home building, dropped 12.4%. In addition, permits for future construction of single-family houses fell 5.7% to a five-month low. Last year's recovery appears to be losing steam. What does all this mean? Home prices are going to be on an upward, more unaffordable trend without more supply. The latest government data showed there were 757,000 housing units on the market in the fourth quarter of last year, well below the 1.1 million units before the COVID-19 pandemic. As for interest rates, the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage has drifted upwards of 7%, and inflation suggests that the Federal Reserve could delay any anticipated rate cut this year. A few economists doubt that the U.S. Central Bank will lower borrowing costs at all in 2024, and I am among those who believe that is true. The Fed has kept its policy rate in the 5.25% to 5.5% range since last July. How about multi-unit housing, such as apartments? Starts for housing projects with 5 units or more plunged 20.8% to a rate of 290,000 units. If you have been following inflation news, you will know that rents and car insurance are the two biggest contributing factors at this time. Car insurance rates generally lag vehicle price increases by at least a year due to the timing of new claims, so any cuts in vehicle values won't ease the insurance pain anytime soon. As for rents, with the lack of building a sufficient number of units, one shouldn't expect to see any easing in the monthly amount anytime soon either. For those of you younger than I sympathize with what you are going through. It certainly seems terrible. However, I promise you, it could be a lot worse. I'm old enough to remember the 4-year overall inflation rate of 53% from 78 to 81. So yeah, it could be worse, it could be better. Please consider buying me a coffee or otherwise supporting the show at newsfolder19.com/support. There are numerous links which will enable you to do so. With that, let's get to news story number 145.2. The United States announced new sanctions on Iran targeting its unmanned aerial vehicle production, that's drones, after its attack on Israel, and U.S. President Joe Biden said G7 leaders, such as Britain, were committed to acting together to increase economic pressure on Tehran. Why? Iran simply did a measured 3-hour attack in retribution for Israel's attack on its consulate in Syria. Iran was not the aggressor. Israel was. Biden said the U.S. and its allies had helped Israel beat back the April 13 missile and drone strike and were now holding Iran accountable with the new sanctions and export controls. Quote, the sanctions target leaders and entities connected to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Iran's defense ministry, and the Iranian government's missile and drone program that enabled this brazen assault, unquote, Biden said in a statement. No, it was not a brazen assault. It was a justified one. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron called Iran's behavior unacceptable. No, it was acceptable. Embassies, consulates, whatever one wants to call them, are a country's property. Iran had its property attacked. Just because our leaders pretend not to like Iran doesn't make Iran wrong, at least in this instance. Tehran says it carried out the attack in retaliation for a presumed Israeli strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which killed two generals and several others on April 1st. There was nothing presumed about it. Israel admits it attacked the consulate, but like they've done for decades, Israel will use any excuse it can to retaliate against Iran's legitimate launch of missiles and drones in this case. In a separate announcement, the U.S. Commerce Department said it was further restricting Iran's access to, quote, low-level technology, unquote, adding to the list of items that require a license for export or re-export to Iran, including items made abroad with U.S. technology. Like they can't get that same low-level technology item from Russia, China, or North Korea. Yeah, right. How many times have I said sanctions don't work? The West has imposed repeated sanctions on Iran over the years, with Britain saying that it alone had introduced more than 400 different economic restrictions on Israel's arch foe. Has anything changed? No, not a bit. In fact, if you educate yourself on the evil Iran, go ahead and YouTube Life in Tehran. You might be surprised by what Tehran is actually like. It's not a bunch of towelheads and camel jockeys, which too many Americans like to think it is. News story number 145.3. According to a study commissioned by Consumer Reports, if one were to be born in the U.S. this year, climate change could cost that person around $500,000 over the course of his, her, and in today's society, its lifetime. The study counts up higher bills for climate-related calamities that drive up housing, food, and healthcare costs. The biggest climate-related costs, according to the study, have to do with housing. Climate change supposedly intensifies storms, floods, and wildfires. In previous podcasts, I have shown that to be false. When adjusted for population growth and inflation, storms are only costlier for one reason. We build more homes in areas subject to disasters. Hence, poor human decision-making, which adds to skyrocketing costs for insuring a home. People also end up paying more to crank up the air conditioning during heat waves, which supposedly get even hotter and more frequent. Sorry, but a warming planet will actually provide savings on energy bills. It's far more energy efficient to cool a home than it is to heat a home. And since worldwide heating degree days outnumber worldwide cooling degree days by about a 6-to-1 margin, overall energy savings in a warming world would be immense. Climate change is also expected to disrupt food systems, be it through drought or shifting landscapes, affecting what kinds of crops are viable in a particular area. Those problems could make food prices $33,000 higher over the lifetime of a newborn in the U.S., the key word being could. Depending on what crops humanity switches to, those costs could just as easily shrink by $33,000, adjusted for inflation, of course, over time. There are a lot of coulds in this study, such as maintaining a vehicle, Warmer weather should result in less ice and less accidents, but more travel in a less cold world could mean more accidents. Healthcare costs from climate risk could add another $5,000. On the other hand, though, I read somewhere that far more people die from freezing to death than due to heat stroke, so it might actually save lives. It even brings up infrastructure, such as roads. I would think potholes from the freeze-thaw cycles are a bigger problem now than roads buckling from too much heat. The fact is, some people will be affected negatively, while others will see a positive outcome. Smart people will adjust by moving to where their overall cost will be less. Why do people who run these studies assume humanity is too stupid to adapt? Granted, some of us are, but not everyone. Thank you for listening. For those listening to the all-in-one episode, I'll be back shortly.
Only 15% of podcasters will ever earn a single penny in profit. Yet more continue to record for one reason. They enjoy informing and entertaining. If you'd like to support this show, visit newsfolder19.com and click on the Buy Me a Coffee or merchandise links. All donations are greatly appreciated. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to News Folder 19. Just need to do my usual shout-outs to Danheim, the provider of the music on this show, and to Susan Kennedy, who does the voiceovers. Please consider supporting the sponsor at CampRidger.net. They have 4 great spices. They all come in 1-cup containers. They're all salt-free, so you can salt to taste, and they cost as little as $7 per container when you buy 4 or more. That's CampRidger.net. News story number 145.4. When it comes to healthy eating, fruits and vegetables reign supreme, but along with all their vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients can come something else, an unhealthy dose of dangerous pesticides. Though using chemicals to control bugs, fungi, and weeds help farmers grow the food we need, it's been clear since the 1960s that some chemicals also carry unacceptable health risk. Yet, America does far less to limit their use than many other countries, and it's showing in our cancer rates. While certain notorious pesticides, such as DDT, have been banned in the U.S., government regulators have been slow to act on others. Even when a dangerous chemical is removed from the market, chemical companies and growers sometimes just start using other options that are just as dangerous. Thank you, farmers. More on you in my next story. Consumer Reports recently conducted their most comprehensive review ever of pesticides in food based on 7 years of data. They looked at 59 common fruits and vegetables, including fresh, canned, dried, and frozen ones. The results? Pesticides pose significant risk in 20% of the foods we examined, including popular choices such as bell peppers, blueberries, green beans, potatoes, and strawberries. One food, green beans, had residues of a pesticide that hasn't been allowed to be used on the vegetable in the U.S. for over a decade. And imported produce, especially some from Mexico, was particularly likely to carry risky levels of pesticide residues. And let's not forget the herbicides and fungicides either. The supposed good news was that pesticides presented little to worry about in nearly 2/3 of the foods, including nearly all of the organic ones. But 2/3 of no worry means that 1/3 is worry food. That's a lot. What are the high-risk foods? According to the study, green beans qualify as a high risk primarily because of a pesticide called acephate. While only 4% of conventional domestic green bean samples tested positive, their pesticide levels were often alarmingly high, up to 100 times the level scientists consider safe. Growers in the U.S. have been prohibited from applying acephate to green beans since 2011, but it's still there. Chlorpromazine on potatoes is not the most toxic pesticide, but it was on more than 90% of tested potatoes. Over time, these levels can build up in your system. Blueberries and strawberries are considered high risk, especially if imported. This is why I like country of origin labels. We have a right to know where our food comes from. As for the list, I will post the link on my YouTube and Facebook pages. News story number 145.5. Cancer is everywhere in Iowa, including Palo Alto County, which ranks second in the U.S. for cancer rates. Roughly 21,000 Iowans now develop cancer annually. That's more than twice as many cancers as occurred in 1973 in a state where the current population is only 11% higher than it was 50 years ago. At one point in the past, the experts tried to blame alcohol for the increasing rates. However, linking alcohol to rising cancer rates in Iowa seems questionable. Iowa's per capita consumption of alcohol ranks 24th in the nation, not second like its cancer rates. Drinking habits in Iowa do not appear to have changed dramatically in the last few decades, not even among binge drinkers. Iowa does have a binge drinking rate of 22% of residents, which is more than a national average of 17%. And while Iowa does have the fourth highest incidence of alcohol-related cancers in the U.S., it's not nearly enough to make up for the overall increase. As a result, researchers have started probing into just how much the state's agricultural industry may be contributing to the spread of disease. Iowa farms use more herbicides and commercial fertilizer on their fields every year than any other state, according to state and federal data. The chemicals are known to contaminate soil and water and leave pesticide residue in the harvested grains. Researchers have long suspected that exposure to a number of the most popular pesticides, particularly glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, may cause human cancers. Other studies have found that exposure to other common pesticides are associated with cases of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, leukemia, brain, and prostate cancer. When nitrogen from fertilizer and manure combined with oxygen, nitrates are formed. The waste streams routinely drain from farm fields into groundwater, streams, and rivers, contaminating water sources. A growing body of evidence indicates an increased risk of cancer from drinking water with elevated levels of nitrates, including cancers of the blood, brain, breast, bladder, and ovaries. Combine that with all the pesticides on the foods in my last story, you're seeing where I'm going with this and why Americans have health issues. Farmers don't like when I state they are helping to kill Americans. After all, they're just growing the food that helps to keep us alive. Unfortunately, in their quest to maximize profits by growing more bushels per acre, what they are applying to those acres and crops is becoming more and more evident, a danger to everyone's health. While I constantly promote better eating habits, the farmers aren't making real food a whole lot safer than the junk food and processed foods we find all the stores advertising 24/7. Thank you for listening. You know the mantra? question authority, and always be free.
Thank you for listening to News Folder 19. All rights are reserved and unauthorized use is prohibited. However, you may share the podcast links. Till next time, have a great day.